Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey!
Hey!
I like that clap. Is that your version of the clapper? The clap.
That's not my version of the clap. No. That's I've worked on that a long time ago. You mean like a slate?
Yeah, like a slate. That's what I meant. Not the clap.
A slate. A slate is, for those of you that are wondering, or that maybe refer to it as a clapper, a slate is that black and white thing that you always see that looks like, you know, in the start of a movie and they like put the little thing down and whatever. That is so sound and camera can be synced when the editor is going in to do something. They know that at that moment, both the sound and the picture are being synced up together and they start from there. Anyway, random fact.
The more you know.
The more you know. I'm just, I'm in a good mood today. It's Friday. I'm heading out of town.
You are. You have energy. There's been no technological problems. You are on top of it today.
Yeah, no, there hasn't been, actually.
Not yet.
Right, not yet. No, I'm doing well. I'm going out of town for this weekend for, obviously when this airs, I'll have been home, but for my birthday. It's almost my birthday.
That's right. It's coming up next week. Wait, what's the date? Yes, you're right.
Yeah, Jan 19th.
Oh my goodness. Happy early
Jan
birthday.
19th. Like it's not January. January 19th. But yes.
You don't have time to say January.
I don't have time
We're
to say
on
January.
A deadline
We're
here.
On this so
Jan
busy.
Jan 19th.
But yeah, I'm very excited. I will be the 12th anniversary of my 30th birthday. And also known as 42. But it'll be good. So I'm going somewhere this weekend with no Wi-Fi and limited cell service. And that's my happy place. Is away
off
from
the grid.
People.
Yeah, no peopling.
Yeah.
No
and
small
antiquing.
Chat.
I'm gonna drag Mescal through some random antique stores. We're going to Julian down near San Diego. And
okay.
So it's a neat little spot and we rented a place up there with on 10 acres with orchards and just it'll be beautiful. Ooh. Yeah. But I'm gonna drag him through a bunch of antique stores and it's my birthday weekend, so he has to come.
You get to decide what to do, and he has to oblige.
Yes, I'm bringing puzzles. I'm bringing word searches. When I come back, I will have completed my transformation into an 85-year-old woman, and it should be great.
You're ready for your guest appearance on The Golden Girls.
Yes. Guest appearance? I'm running it. That's it. I have the house. I have the Golden Girls house.
I love it. Well, I hope you have a wonderful birthday weekend.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it should be nice. It should be really good. I saw Kelly yesterday. She said to tell you hello.
Oh, hi Kelly. Yeah.
I did her podcast, which was really fun.
Oh, I bet. Such a great podcast. She has Comfort Food.
Yeah, Comfort Food with Kelly Rizzo, and I guess she was having a few people on that were close with Bob for this first month. So
it's
John Mayer did it, and Jeff Ross, me, Rabbi Leader.
Great.
So yeah, it was great, and always good to see Kelly. And I found out she moved like literally walking distance from me. So
really?
Ooh. Yeah. So I'm gonna be bugging her all the time now. I'm very excited.
Yeah, go get coffee down the street.
That's literally she goes to the coffee shop by my house. So I was like, yeah, park by my house and let's go.
Right.
So anyway,
you can carpool or just walk together.
Just walk to get. Yeah, exactly. But it's nice, and I absolutely love the family and the extended family that we have from this. Kelly was there. I saw her mom. Aww. You know, just like the generations and sort of the ripple effects of our Full House family and our various, you know, significant others and their families and kids. And it makes me happy.
The family keeps growing. And
yeah.
I love that. There's been a lot of love this week. With the Full House family and the anniversary of Bob's passing. So it's been a love fest this week.
It has. It
has. Lots of emotions.
Yes, I know it was a lot of emotions for you too, but I'm just so glad that we all got to support each other, and we got so many wonderful comments and things after the live that we did that John posted. That was really meaningful and sweet, so I'm glad we did that.
That was very cathartic to just share feelings and be open and honest. And, you know, we're all going through it together, so it's
true.
It's nice
it's
to
true.
Share
yeah, Kelly and I had a really great discussion about grief yesterday and how to get through it and kind of what it looks like and all that. It was, I think it was a really important conversation. But, I'm so glad that, you know, none of us have to walk through this alone. We all have each other, and it's very nice, strong bonds. So, anyway.
Oh,
that's my I really brought the mood down there. Started off,
we started off with the clap, and we went to grief.
Bob would be proud that we started at the clap and wound up with his passing. I feel like he'd be like, "Oh, thank you. I'm so glad."
Well,
shall we get into it?
Why don't we review an episode?
Let's review an episode. And I would like you to know, I reviewed the correct episode this time.
I was wondering, we're doing two of them today. Did you review two episodes?
Well, I did. What?
What is that?
The balloons? What did you just do?
What did I just
do? How did you just have balloons?
All right,
I'm jumping in
because this will.
What happened?
This will. Hi everyone, it's Jensen.
Hi Jensen.
I can't get it to do it again.
Basically, this is what every podcast is going through right now, which is that Zoom has created an update where if you do certain symbols, balloons or fireworks or anything will happen.
Look at that. Mine's not on. Mine's not doing it. Andrea apparently is having all the fun.
Also,
I just updated my laptop before we started recording. Maybe that's why.
Mine asked if I wanted to do it. I was like, I don't have time for
that. Can I suggest thumbs down? Two thumbs down?
Two thumbs down?
Okay. It should be. There you go.
Ooh.
Oh, raining.
It's storming.
Wow.
This is fantastic. We're not going to get anything done
that's
today.
It. I don't care about the podcast.
Hence why I jumped in. Yeah, hence why I jumped in, because this can eat 40 minutes of people being like, what if I put two fingers together? Like, it's just an insane deal.
So what you're saying is stop and do our job.
Mostly.
Okay, got it. Mostly. Got it.
No. All right, goodbye.
Okay,
and this is particularly
Andrea,
annoying
did you
for
not
the
hear what our
just
producer
listening.
Said? Stop doing it and let's do our job. Jesus.
Well, I'm trying to get the
professionalism
balloons
back. On you.
I can't get the...
Stop.
Okay, fine. I'll stop, but I'm really excited about this.
Well, you're going to have a whole bunch of fun with this on a whole Zoom by yourself. I watched the correct episode this time, and what I realized, and I almost didn't, because when I, again, went on to Amazon to look at the episodes, the Jingle Hell one that I watched it was like four episodes earlier in the show than it was supposed to be. So that's why when I watched that, I was like, wow, we just covered a lot of ground. But
right.
So anyway,
why are Joey and Jesse advertising partners?
Yeah, it was
now.
Like they were just, they had a career and we were like, yep, that's fine. And, you know, I mean, look, it was like Stacey Q. We're world's biggest fans. We have a jingle ad agency and we're just doing it. So anyway.
Okay.
Now
well,
I reviewed
the
horse, the
correct...
and I'm very excited about the horse.
Oh, the horse! Yeah, this is a great episode that we're recapping today.
I have big news about this episode.
Oh, you do?
I'm not going to lie. This episode made me laugh, made me tear up.
Yep.
And has now it really made me fall in love with Full House. Honestly, like this episode, I went. I wrote it down in my little notebook. This episode made me fall in love with the show. And I
get it. Wow. Oh, that's a big statement.
It is a big statement because, you know, most of the time it's like, eh, they're cute and they're funny and they're a little sitcom. But this show, it just hit all the right notes. It really did. And
it was a lot of heart in this
episode. A lot of heart in this episode, but also like Danny getting angry, but like really, you know, like it felt grounded. It felt real. Candace's performance was great. Bob's was. There's some really funny moments in it. It's in my top place. It's in top place of favorite favorite Full House episodes.
So this is your number one as of right now.
This is my number one episode. It cracked open my cold, dark little heart.
That reached amazing.
in and like the Grinch, it grew three sizes while watching this episode.
I didn't think that was possible. Wow, Jody,
I am
having
so
a feeling?
Loving and well, I mean, I'm not super emotional on the outside, but I had a feeling on the inside.
You had a feeling, and that maybe that's why you're in such a good mood today and energetic, is because you're right in the high of DJ's very first horse.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I actually went horseback riding last weekend. Again, randomly, like, I haven't been riding in years, and I went on Sunday. So, I don't know what is happening that we are just creating in the universe Full House moments outside.
We're manifesting Full House episodes in our real lives.
Yes.
We're dedicated to this podcast, people. We have turtles in bags.
We got turtles in bags. Riding. We've got horses. We've got, all kinds of stuff.
Well, let's get into it. Welcome back to How Rude, Tanneritos. I'm Andrea Barber.
And I'm Jody Sweeten.
We're like doing a virtual toast here.
Yeah, a little coffee toast.
And today we are discussing season 2, episode 4, titled DJ's Very First Horse.
Wait, is it episode 4 or episode 5?
It's episode 4. What is it on Amazon? Hulu or Max? I've got them both, and I can watch Full House on either one.
I blame Jeff Bezos for lots of things, but this especially.
Well, we just have to be diligent and just verify before we
I
record.
Just have
Jody
to
watch
do my
right
job
episode.
And pay attention is what it is, and that sometimes is hard. Okay.
So yes, this is the fourth episode of season 2.
Full House, right? Got it. That's the show. Not stop it with the...
Sorry. I feel like we're now those kids, like little kids that are getting in trouble in school. We've been so good for the first half of the school year, and now we're just letting it fly.
Oh, I never was, so I don't know what that's like. I started off just like this.
Anyways, this episode originally aired on November 4th, 1988, and it goes a little something like this. DJ falls in love with a horse named Rocket and decides to own it, or kind of rent it. But it's without
sort of.
Danny's permission. Ooh. So things get a little out of hand when Rocket finds himself out of the stables and confronted by Danny. Mm. Uh-oh.
Never a good thing.
It was directed by Lee Shalit.
Oh,
and it was written,
Lee, yeah.
Lee is back, yes.
Our female director.
Yes, the one so far.
I mean, it was the 80s. There wasn't...
It was the 80s. This is big. It was written by Rob Dames and Bob Fraser. I don't remember them.
Bob Fraser sounds a little familiar, but I can't picture. I can't picture a face, so I apologize.
I can't either. I feel like they were just in these early seasons, probably not later seasons, which is why we don't remember them.
Yes.
Okay.
That and we were children. So.
And we were kids. We were focused on other things.
Right.
We have two great guest stars this week. We have Bill Wiley as Jeb, the owner of the stables, although I don't think we ever hear his name in the show, but his name
in the
show is Jeb.
Yeah.
Jeb totally fits. This guy is a vibe, man. I love this ranch hand guy. He's great. He's a TV and movie character actor with a career that spanned 8 decades. Wow.
Holy crap.
That's a long career. He was seen in movies like Porky's 2, The Next Day, and That Thing You Do. And a ton of TV shows like Taxi, Golden Girls, Dallas, and Punky Brewster. I didn't know this.
I feel like I have definitely seen him before. I feel like Punky Brewster is actually maybe where I remember seeing him from. So I used to love that show when I was...
Yeah, that tracks for me too. He's definitely familiar. And unfortunately, he passed away in 2021 at 90 years old, or over 90 years old. So he had a great career.
Hey, that's impressive. And 8-decade career and making it to 90 something. Congrats, sir.
Good for him. Good for Bill. And our second guest star this week, drum roll, please. It's Nathan Nishiguchi as Harry Takayama.
Yay!
Oh my goodness. Finally, Harry has arrived.
Harry, I love Harry and Steph's friendship. It's hilarious. It's always been hilarious to me. Steph is just like, look, buddy, this is what you're doing. And she just runs the show. It's great.
It's such a cute friendship. Oh my goodness. You guys are just adorable. I love it. I didn't know he appeared this early in the series.
I didn't either. They were trying to give Steph a friend.
Yeah, you needed a friend.
I did.
You've been trying to, like,
you know, Kimmy and DJ.
You've been trying to be with, yeah, Kimmy and DJ's friend forever. And we're like, little girl, please go away. So you deserve your own friend for sure.
So I found someone to make do whatever I wanted.
It's perfect. Yes. It's the perfect friendship. And Nathan was on 5 episodes of Full House. He was on an episode of Highway to Heaven. And he did one TV movie, and that's it. So he quit acting, and he's now an investment banker in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
I know. What are the odds, right?
I mean, it's we made that happen. I'm just like to
we
say.
Did. We manifested that.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're hoping to get him on the show, too. Nathan, please.
Yeah.
Please reply, because we would love to.
We
so
would love to have you on the show. Oh, my God. I'd love to have him on. It'd be fun.
But anyways, let's get into the show. So we start with our cold open in the Tanner's living room. Michelle walks into the room. She's wearing a very colorful outfit.
I remember that outfit.
I do, too. Why do we remember this outfit?
It because must be I remember that outfit. And I literally just had this happen. Didn't they dress the Michelle doll in that outfit?
Maybe that's it.
I feel like we had the Michelle doll was a stand-in that we had, like, the, you know, obviously when the babies, when we were rehearsing, you had to be carrying something in or whatever. The babies couldn't be doing all the rehearsal, but or the toddlers. Right. But I feel like
they dressed the
stand-in baby in that outfit. But it's an outfit that I definitely remember the girls wearing. Very
it's very Punky Brewster-esque with like the purple and the orange and the suspenders.
I have lots of comments on the fashion in this episode.
There's a lot of great fashion in this episode. Oh my goodness. Buckle up. The wardrobe department was busy.
Wardrobe department
week.
Had fun on this one. Yeah.
So Michelle walks in. She walks right up to Joey, who is napping on the couch. Michelle literally licks his face. Like
do you remember when they were doing that? Like, toddlers go through that stage where they're just licking people. They think it's hilarious to be like, meh, and stick their tongue out. And Ashley Mary Kate thought it was hilarious. They were in that stage where it was just really funny to, like, try and lick everybody. And so I think they just made a cold open out of it.
They just wrote it in.
They kind of made the cold opens out of whatever Ashley and Mary Kate were capable of doing at the time, or, like, some new thing that they were doing. They were like, make it into a cute little cold open. So but she came in and licked his nose.
these cold opens were not pre-planned.
It wasn't,
for sure.
What are the girls doing now? Lick somebody. No, they were just, that was the stage they were in, was that weird toddler thing where they want to lick everybody and think it's funny when you're like, no, stop.
Wow. Okay, well.
Eventually everyone grows out. Well, not everyone grows out of that, but most people do. So they do.
With any luck.
With any luck, yes.
We hope that you've grown out of that. So Michelle licks his face and Joey wakes up. He's laughing as he picks her up and places her on his lap. She looks at him and she says, nap. He giggles and says, you woke me up to tell me I'm taking a nap? And Michelle says, yes. Joey thanks her and says, well, if I fall asleep again, make sure you wake me up and let me know, okay? He gives her a big kiss and she runs out of the room in the cutest way. Joey smiles and goes back to sleep.
So cute.
Cute, simple, short, you know, it is just a little teaser, you know? We don't need a long one.
No.
Just something to get you, to wet your palate.
Exactly.
For Full House to come. So then the credits roll and we open the real show in the horse stables. This is a great set. This was such a cool.
It's such a great
set.
It looks
so real life, too.
Well, I actually do have one thing in the back, which is that you can see the wrinkles in the backdrop. That was my...
Oh, you can?
I, like, looked at it and I was like, does someone steam that thing? Like, it was, like, slightly wrinkled, you know? And I was like, oh, yeah.
Sitcoms in the
80s.
I mean,
the backdrops were always like, is that? Yeah.
No, very true. I was thinking, I'm just more impressed that they got, like, two horses into this and a goat.
The horses in it.
Yeah, very impressive to get those large animals.
I have a story about the horse. We'll get there, but...
Okay. Just let me know. Let me know when you're ready to share your story about a horse.
Yes.
So the whole family, plus Kimmy and Becky, they're at the Golden Gate Stables where Danny and Becky are recording a special episode of Wake Up San Francisco.
And did you see who the stage manager is?
Yeah, this was my Everywhere You Look. So that's if you,
never mind that I won't say.
I know. Is that your every? I figured we'd have the same.
No, no, no.
I
have a different Everywhere You Look that has to do with the credits, but we'll come back to it. So, okay. So I won't. We'll scratch that. Never mind.
Okay, but yes, I did see. I hope I saw the same person you saw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're tracking. We're tracking. Yes. Audience, stay tuned till the end of the episode. We'll tell you who we're talking about here.
Yes.
So Michelle is perched on Jesse's lap. He picks up a baby chick and he asks her, "What is this?" And she responds, "Chicky." This is so cute. This is such a natural reaction from Ashley.
Oh, that was adorable.
Kate.
Yeah.
Becky is watching them and she has a huge smile on her face. Jesse tells Michelle, "Give the chicky love. Give him a hug." Michelle hugs the chicky while Becky snaps a picture of the two of them. Jesse suggests that he take a picture of Becky and Michelle together as well. So as Jesse is snapping the picture, he slyly remarks, "So, Becky, what do you say after the show, you and I slip away and get a little lunch together? Say okay." And she says, "Okay," as he takes the picture and calls him very sneaky. That was sly. That was smooth.
It was very sly. Very cute. Smooth. But her response was cute. Yeah. I liked it.
There's the beginnings of some flirting here, you know?
Yeah, I like it.
I like it too. She's keeping him at an arm's length.
Exactly. She's making it a little difficult for Jesse. I like to see him having to spin his wheels a little.
Yeah, she's making him work a little bit, but she's not just, you know, shutting the door on him. She's like flirting back just enough to keep him interested.
It's fun to watch them start their little, you know, dance back and forth, knowing that they become Jesse and Becky. You know, it's just cute.
Becky asks what he's doing at the stables, and he tells her, well, the girls wanted to come watch them shoot the show, so why not bring the whole family?
Yeah, why not wear suit pants? Because that's what you wear. He's wearing, like dress suit pants to a stable.
To a stable. Well, you know, that's a Jesse thing. He's always dressed like Jesse, regardless of if
he's
it's
he's always dressed inappropriately for the situation, yes. Is what it is. He's always dressed like, why are you wearing that? Yeah, okay.
And speaking of getting dressed up, Danny walks in dressed in this cute, this farmer's getup with a flannel overalls and a ginormous straw hat. Boy, does Bob look hysterical in this getup.
It's ridiculous.
Becky laughs and Danny asks, are you laughing at me or with me? And before she can answer, he realizes, well, I'm not laughing. So that pretty much answers my question. Becky assures him he looks cute and no one is laughing at him. Right on cue, Joey walks in, takes one look at Danny, and bursts out in laughter.
I'm sure Dave and Bob, I mean, the guys had so much fun making each other laugh in these stupid outfits.
Oh, for sure. Well, and honestly, if you look at what Joey is wearing, this sweater with like the geometrical shape, I'm like, Joey, you don't.
I've seen like five of those sweaters on different characters in the last two episodes.
Yes, they're just
like fuzzy geometric sweaters.
Yeah, that must have been in 1989 because, yeah, why not?
88.
Are we still in 88?
We're still in 88. Okay, yeah. That explains a lot.
That's the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So we angle on DJ and Kimmy petting a horse. And DJ says, isn't he the most gorgeous creature you've ever seen? Kimmy quickly replies, no, Patrick Swayze is. But you know, that this is establishing very early on that Kimmy's got a huge crush on Patrick Swayze.
It's the second mention of him.
Yeah.
He was mentioned last episode too. Very popular in 88.
Well, it's actually the next episode, but you watched it last week, so that's why.
Never mind. Well, I know he gets mentioned. Anyway, forget it.
But yeah, Patrick Swayze gets several shout outs in the course of the series. So
yes.
And he deserves it. Stephanie walks in and asks DJ what the horse's name is. DJ tells her it's Rocket. So she goes up to pet him and says, hello, Rocket. Joey, off screen, pretending to be the horse, says, hello, Stephanie. Stephanie's eyes get really wide as she asks, I beg your pardon? I love that you're phrasing it that way. Like, you're so prim and proper. I beg your pardon?
Pardon me?
Like, suddenly you're English or something. Joey, acting again as the horse, reiterates, I said, hello, Stephanie. Stephanie is totally shocked that the horse can talk. She exclaims, and he knows my name. DJ brings her over to a corner to reveal Joey hiding under a blanket, pretending to be the horse. Stephanie is unamused, telling Joey, that is not funny. I am never going to trust another talking horse. Joey assures Steph that he'll make it up to her, and then he does an impression of Elmer Fudd. The man who runs the stables, Jeb, with a very thick accent, comes over and tells DJ, that horse has taken a real shine to you. He mentions that the horse has been lonely since his owner moved away. DJ's concerned, and she asks what's going to happen to Rocket. Jeb tells DJ that he has to find the horse a good home. He says someone could have themselves a free horse. DJ's
There's no such thing as a free horse.
No. Free lunch, always a free trap. Horse.
There's no, no, no. It's yep. always a trap.
But DJ's excited, you know? She's 11 or 12, and she's like, what? I mean, a free horse?
Tell an 11-year-old you get a free horse?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing better than that. She can't believe it. She's like, no money, $0, an absolutely free horse? And then she tries to play it cool by saying, oh, I might be interested. But before she gets carried away, Jeb tells her it costs $100 every 2 weeks to feed and stable the horse. DJ hesitantly says, I'll get back to you. Just put the horse on layaway. I was thinking that's pretty cheap. To stable and feed a horse, it's like 200 bucks a
that's
month?
That's 1988 prices. Oh, okay. It's that's true. Yeah. It's hay has gone up considerably.
Hay.
Hay has gone up considerably. And horses are not cheap pets. And they are an everyday requirement sort of thing. So
yes, that's a big commitment.
It is. Horses are a very big commitment. Yeah.
But DJ emphasizes to Kimmy how much of a dream this would be for her. She tries to bring her in on the deal, saying, we'll be the only kids in sixth grade with a real horse. Kimmy's interested, and she says, that'll make Kathy Santoni shut up about her stupid moped. More shade being thrown at Kathy Santoni.
Kathy Santoni.
I love how much we talk about her before we even see her.
Right.
So DJ decides that they can have their parents split the money. She runs over to Danny and asks, can I have a pet? I'll feed it. I'll take care of it. I'll be totally responsible. Danny considers it and tells her, well, maybe something small, like a parakeet or a goldfish. Nothing with teeth. Mm-hmm. Becky and Danny begin their TV segment, and Danny introduces the show as Wake Up, San Francisco, E-I-E-I-O. Becky tells him the stables remind her of growing up in Nebraska. And Danny admits it reminds him of a rerun of Green Acres. Becky admits that she misses farm life, but not today, because she says she has a surprise for Danny. And he's very nervous because he hates surprises.
Danny does not like surprises.
He does not like surprises. So Jeb brings in a goat named Marilyn, and Michelle yells,
wait,
hi, goat.
A goat named Marilyn? Yes. Was the goat's actual name Marilyn? But I seem to remember there being a producer on the show named Marilyn. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it's both. There was a producer named Marilyn, and then the goat was named. It is an odd name for a goat.
I mean, I feel like most names are odd names for goats because they're goats. But but Marilyn is definitely an odd name. But I seem to remember that like our line producer or something was named Marilyn.
Yeah, okay. So I wonder
if she
makes sense
that they named the goat after her, because the line producer is always the one that has to tell you, no, we can't afford that. So they were probably like, she's the goat now.
She's the goat. So Marilyn's there. Michelle is so cute. She's saying, hi, goat. It's adorable. And Becky tells Danny, San Francisco is going to watch you learn how to milk a goat. Becky demonstrates how to do it, and Danny stands there frozen. He says, Rebecca, I have a thing about touching goats below the waist. As he goes to Marilyn, he politely introduces himself and then looks into the camera and says, kids, don't try this at home.
Or with a goat you don't know or have never met.
Well, you know, did the goat consent to this? Like, I have questions, you know? It's poor goat.
Poor Marilyn. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P
slate.com/howrude.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
So then we cut to DJ and Stephanie's room a little while later. Kimmy walks in and tells DJ, "I asked my mom about the horse," and DJ excitedly asks, "Oh, what did she say?" Kimmy recites her mother's words. "Kimberly Louise Gibbler, have you lost your mind?"
And is that our first mention of your middle name?
I think so. I think this Kimberly is the first Louise. Time we hear Louise. I love yep. it. So DJ comes up with a new idea. If she and Kimmy successfully take care of Rocket for 2 weeks on their own, their parents will be so impressed, they'll have to let them keep the horse.
Yeah, that's not how parents work.
Yeah.
Okay.
DJ's desperate. She's desperate right. for this horse. And Kimmy tells her, "I love the way your mind works. Now, how does your mind say we pay for 2 weeks of stable fees?" DJ's mind says if they pull together their allowance and their savings, they'll have just enough. Kimmy agrees and remarks that all she has to do is give up shopping. But after realizing what she just said, she remarks, "Give up shopping? Did those words come out of my mouth?" Kimmy does not want to give
Kimmy's
up her mall
very
time.
Fashion forward. You cannot, no.
Kimmy needs her outfits.
Yeah, which are astounding.
They are.
In this episode, by the way.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well, okay. In this scene, it's cute. Like, I'm wearing these plaid shorts.
This scene, you look.
They're very cute.
It's super cute. Amazing. Yeah. Love it. But yeah, there are some, I have comments.
Oh, I can't wait to hear your comments. I love it. So DJ assures Kimmy that there is no comparison between shopping and having their very own horse. So they start to chant, "We're gonna get a horse. We're gonna get a horse." And Steph walks in and joins this chant.
"We're gonna get a horse. Yeah, we're gonna."
I love it. DJ tries to save the situation by telling Stephanie, "If you can keep the horse a secret for 2 weeks, I'll let you own part of the horse." Stephanie is very excited and she asks, "Which part?"
DJ the rear right leg.
Right. You can have the spleen.
Yeah.
But DJ tells her you can have the tail. And Steph is so excited about this. She decides to name the tail Buttercup. They shake hands to seal the deal. But Kimmy is not sure about this. She asks DJ, "Are you sure you can trust her? She is such a blabbermouth." But Stephanie defends herself. "I can keep a secret. No one knows about the bag of Halloween candy in my sock drawer." Whoops. Once she realizes that her secret's been revealed, Stephanie acknowledges, "Oh, I am a blabbermouth. Aye, aye, aye." Kimmy and DJ jump at the chance for Halloween candy and run to Stephanie's sock drawer. Steph tries
Which,
to... What?
That whole little last moment was all improv, by the way.
I wrote that. I said, was this ad-libbing, Jody? I feel
like it was. All ad-libbing and improv. It's stay a little, rot your teeth.
Yeah, you did great. Yeah. That was really good ad-libbing. I was like, oh, that's good. You're
just
very...
channeling my mom.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll rot your teeth.
Stale. Yeah. It's been sitting in there forever.
Yeah, exactly. So we cut to the living room. Joey and Michelle are in the living room pretending that the living room chair is a car when Becky and Jesse walk in. They join in on the game, avoiding the chair and yelling, "Look out!" Joey gives his best taxi driver impression, telling Jesse, "Hey, bum, out of my way." Joey asks Michelle if she's ready for her nap, and Michelle replies, "Hey, bum." and Joey says, "Yeah, you gotta watch what you're saying around the kids." Jesse tells Michelle that they got her a toy, and it will be all blown up by the time she wakes up from her nap. He unfolds the blow-up toy, and it's a gigantic Godzilla.
Jesse, seems an odd gift for a child.
This
but,
seemed out of, and, yeah, kind of out of
did
touch.
Did they get it at the stable? Why is there a blow-up Godzilla at a stable?
Did he? I thought he was just taking questions. Becky out to lunch. Did they stop at a toy shop on the way home? Or has Michelle mentioned dinosaurs or Godzilla? Like, I don't know where this came from. It's a bit. Know. They just had this prop lying around in the writer's room. They were like, let's write it in.
Just use that stupid blow up Godzilla thing.
Yeah, let's just write it in. Joey and Michelle go upstairs and Becky tells Jesse, you know, you and Joey will make great parents. You guys should really have kids of your own. And Jesse jokes, well, we've talked about it and neither one of us is willing to go through labor.
He's typical.
Typical. I know, right? He starts to blow up Michelle's toy and Becky offers to help. When he turns her down, it's because it's a man's job. And she's like, okay, well, I'm going to head back into the studio. In a panic, Jesse says, no, wait, don't go. I'm going to faint. See, it's not just a man's job.
No, it's not. No. Turns out lung capacity has no gender.
Right. Jesse seizes this opportunity to ask Becky out. He asks, can I ask you a personal question? Do you eat dinner? And she responds, almost every night. He exclaims, this is amazing. So do I. Two people, both dinner eaters. How often does that happen? Becky, have dinner with me tonight, please. Becky kindly turns him down because she has to work on Monday's show.
Jesse can work for it.
I love it. I love it. Jesse points out that it's the weekend and Becky emphasizes that this job is a huge opportunity for her. So she has to stay focused. Jesse offers, just take an hour, focus on some pasta fazool. She assures him that she really likes having him as a friend and adds, besides, it's going to take you all weekend to blow up Godzilla. She tossles his hair and leaves. Yikes. Did she just...
Ooh, the hair tossle. The friend zoned him.
I know. She friend zones him, but then she kind of tossles his hair, which I think is a little flirty. So
it is. Look, I think Becky is very aware of that she is in the position of power in this, that he likes her.
Uh-huh.
She likes him too, but she sees kind of through him that he is, you know, this woman chaser and goes, so she's kind of like, look, I'm not impressed by your city life thing. Like, mm-hmm. I, so I like it. She's kind of like, yeah, no, we're friends. You're cool.
This is exactly what Jesse needs. You know? He needs a woman like exactly. This. That's he not needs, just going to fall all yes. over him.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to work for it a little bit. I like this.
Yeah.
So Jesse questions what he could be doing wrong. Then he looks at Godzilla and immediately blames it on him. He tells the blow-up doll, all right, I'll have dinner with you. Come on, let's go eat Tokyo. And he walks out. So now we're back in the horse stables. DJ and Kimmy are visiting Rocket. And Kimmy is in quite the getup. What the heck am
what
I wearing in this
in
scene?
What the Mrs. Trunchbull are you wearing?
I look like a World War II fighter pilot.
You look, I wrote down, I said, what are you, about to go play taps on a bugle?
Yeah, I don't.
Are you going on safari? Are you playing Mrs. Trunchbull in Matilda on Broadway? What are you doing?
It looks like everything
like,
except
it was like
equestrian.
The shoulder pads.
Oh, yeah.
I feel, yeah, you it's needed very... bullfighting.
Oh, yes.
Flag.
The flag.
It felt very, it was a very cinched waist and the boots and that it was.
It's a choice.
It was giving. I weirdly loved it. Like it was like a weird tribute to Amelia Earhart.
Yes.
And I'm here for it. I'm loving it. It was very like girl power. I could, I don't know, fly a plane or like.
It's just very, I don't know, very militant.
A horse.
It's just so militant for an 11-year-old girl to be wearing this at a horse
stable. It is rather
militant.
It is very, like you're going to, I don't know, practice your guerrilla warfare off in, under the pier. I don't know what Kimmy's doing, and I probably don't want to ask, but she's preparing for something.
We don't
Some
know what.
Some sort of, right, like, are you in ROTC? Like, what is... What are you doing? Are you a reserve officer? I can't figure it out.
Anything it out. Except about to ride a horse. Like she's ready for anything. Combat.
She's ready. She's whatever. Ready for combat, but she's ready to ride the horse in if she were in the cavalry in like 1874. You know what I mean? Like that's she just needs like a saber. You know what I mean? Like ha ha and just off and you're leading the charge. Yeah. Yep.
And this is only the beginning of the Gibbler fashion. Like, we have just gotten started.
There's more. Trust me. And you have another outfit in here, too, that I have some comments on.
It's just endless, endless.
But it was yours. And then DJ had a fuzzy geometric sweater.
Yes, she did. You're right. This is
again,
a trend.
I guess that was the 80s. There's like that. It looks comfy.
It does.
It's like that sort of boucle, like very fuzzy material, but then like lots of random, brightly colored geometric patterns.
Yeah. It looks very warm, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, but comfortable.
I mean, San Francisco. It's San Francisco.
Yeah, it's chilly. It's chilly outside. Yeah.
I mean,
she's
Kimmy's
about to go
got
ride
a, you know, a military coat on. So
I'm very warm. I have enough layers to get through. The brutalist of
you
winters.
You just need your scarf and, like, your flying goggles and and little helmet. You know what I mean? Like the Red Baron or something.
Like, this is so...
Snoopy dressed as the Red Baron.
Kimmy could have had a whole new career. Like, if only she knew at the tender age of 11.
Only she knew that Kimmy could have had her own military brigade.
Right.
And, yeah.
A whole army of Gibblers.
Right? Wait, Jensen said it looks like she works in the administration at Jurassic Park. You do. Oh, my God. You're like Laura Dern's long-lost niece or something.
This is... Wow. This is going to be the rest of the episode. Let's just talk about this outfit. No, I'm just kidding.
Last night I was like, I couldn't write down all the jokes as they came to my brain quick enough. So, yeah. It was a lot.
Wow. All right. Well, that was a choice. That was a choice. Here we are. So DJ asks if Kimmy would like to ride Rocket first. And Kimmy asks, you mean get on him? In my new outfit? Ew.
Yeah, no. Apparently.
She never planned to ride the horse or even take care of it. She just wants to buy outfits that may or may not have anything to do with the activity at hand.
I can't blame her.
So Kimmy decides to leave so she can tell everyone at school that they got a horse. So this whole outfit, like, how much did the wardrobe department spend on this outfit? And I'm only in the scene for 20 seconds.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, damn, it's a shame that this outfit didn't get more airtime because it is, it's having a moment.
Right. Well, having Kimmy's got to go back to the barracks and wake up.
Right, she's got to go back to the barracks and, and, you know, do the flag ceremony at the end of the day, so.
And fold the flag appropriately.
And fold the flag, exactly. right, and play, you know, taps on bugle or whatever.
So DJ tells Rocket, let's go for a nice long ride, and I'll try to explain Kimmy to you. Cue the musical
montage.
I've missed these. It's been a hot minute since we've had a musical montage.
Oh, yes, a music montage.
Set to the tune of Good Day Sunshine.
Good day, sunshine. Yeah,
great song.
She's having a good day, too.
She's having a great day. This is a great compilation of... DJ riding horseback, DJ brushing Rocket's coat, DJ feeding him.
In a random park somewhere, because that's where you do that.
Right, in a random park.
You just, you're like, here, pull up next to this picnic bench. Horse trail or like, it was just like, I don't know, I'm just riding a horse through a random park.
Well, I'm trying to picture, if Griffith Park is nearby, this was probably Griffith Park. I don't know where they shot this. These exterior shots.
Yeah, Griffith. But, I mean, and there are stables there, but you ride them on horse trails. You don't just kind of go galloping through the large, soccer field.
Gallop through the grass, right?
But you do if it's a music montage, so.
You do, and Candace is doing a great job. I feel like she's had
experience. I think she was doing some horseback riding at the time.
Yeah, that sounds familiar because.
Because her heels are down, and I was like, she's got some good riding technique.
Yeah.
Her heels are down.
She looks very comfortable on Rocket, no doubt about it. So our montage ends, and DJ is back in the stables brushing Rocket and wearing a cute new cowgirl outfit. We have returned to her denim era, her denim on denim on denim.
Denim, her Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, she's back in it. She tells Rocket that these past 2 weeks have been the best weeks of her life. She says, you're the best horse I've ever owned, and I'm not just saying that because you're the only horse I've ever owned. Kimmy then waltzes in. Looking like a human-sized version of Woody from Toy
Story. That's what I wrote. I went, oh my God, it's Woody from Toy Story. Or not Woody, Jesse.
Oh, Jesse.
You look like Jesse from Toy Story. Yeah.
At least she's on brand. Brand now for like, at least she looks like a cowboy about to ride a horse.
She's moved from cavalry into like, a horsey sort of 1950s Green Acres kind of vibe.
Yeah. She went straight
those
to the
red
mall.
Boots, though. Yeah,
the red boots were great. I remember liking this outfit too. I felt cool in it for some reason. I don't look cool now, but it felt cool at the time.
How do you remember how you felt about the army brigade costume?
I think even back then I thought that was weird, but I was 11. I didn't know.
I actually love it. Like that, I'm like, that's kind of badass with the brown boots in it. Like, I like that outfit. I'm making fun of it, but I actually do. I like that.
Okay. I hated most of my wardrobe. Maybe not this early in the series, but especially later years of Kimmy Gibbler fashion. I hated almost everything that I wore.
You're starting off strong, Gibbler. That's all I'm
saying. Okay. All right. I'm here for it. So Kimmy says hi to DJ and Rocket, and DJ reminds her of the $50 that Kimmy owes for Rocket's stabling fees. Kimmy is visibly worried, and instead of handing her the money, Kimmy asks DJ if she likes her new shirt and new boots. DJ instantly realizes that Kimmy went to the mall and doesn't have the $50. Kimmy tries telling her, I don't even know how I got to the mall. I tried to leave, but then I saw this shirt and these boots. DJ interrupts, saying, Gibbler, you're a mall-aholic. Kimmy apologizes for spending the money and for letting DJ down. She tells her that she's just not ready for this responsibility yet, which is a rare moment of self-awareness for Kimmy, you know, just... Like, she's dicked over a DJ before in the birthday episode.
I kind of was like, damn, Kimmy, like, like, after the last episode with the prize party and now this, I was like, Kimmy, what are we doing? You were very self-aware, though. You're like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready to give up my shopping and looking fabulous for a horse.
It doesn't make what she did right, but at least she's self-aware that she's being a bad friend.
True. I mean, to be honest... Kimmy's the smarter one in the situation. She's like, we don't need a horse.
You really don't need a horse. No.
We need a horse.
She's just going along with this just for the outfits, obviously. But she apologizes to DJ and says goodbye to Rocket and walks on out. Oh, Kimmy. So Jeb walks in, seeing DJ looking very upset. She breaks the news that she only has $50. And Jeb says if she can't afford to take care of the horse, he has to find someone else who can. Panicked.
And this is what happens when you make a deal with an 11-year-old, you know?
Yeah, this is
with no paperwork and no parents.
There's no contract. Yeah, there's no parental permission.
Yeah, you got screwed, Jeb. You got screwed.
He got screwed. So DJ checks her backpack to see if she has anything of value to give him. But all she has to offer is a hairbrush, a math book that's never been used, and a George Michael CD that she claims is even better than cash. So Jeb examines the CD, saying that either that boy's wearing an earring or that gal's got some serious stubble. Do we think Jeb's been hitting the moonshine, you know, in the back of the stables? Like, I just feel like between the accent and he kind of stumbles a little bit here and there. He's definitely hitting the moonshine.
For sure. Why? I mean, you work at a stable. Why wouldn't you just be drunk all the time, you know?
And he said yes to this 11-year-old. He's
made a deal with an 11-year-old. Like, he gave a horse to a kid and was like, sure, you can have it.
Right.
With nothing. Yeah, he's decidedly drunk.
He's definitely drunk.
Definitely drunk.
All of these scenes, yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That actually explains a lot about this episode. So, Jeb apologizes, saying he needs cash. He tells DJ that he has to go tell the boss that they need to find a new owner for Rocket. DJ pleads, can I just take him on one last ride? The man says yes, and he leaves.
He says, what does he say? There's no harm in that, which I wrote down. When someone says there's no harm in that in a sitcom, there will indeed be harm.
That means harm is imminent.
There will be a lot of harm, and it's not going to end well.
Right. But
yeah, he was like, oh, there's no harm in that. I was like, oh, we're screwed. That's it. Everything's going bad.
He's just cursed the next 13 minutes of this episode.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
And he leaves with her $50, too. Did he give the $50 back? I think he just walked off with it.
I mean...
Like, did he steal
the
money?
You gotta pay for the hay. He didn't steal it.
Oh, that's
true. That was $50 of hay and boarding and all of that.
Okay, so she still owes... Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
She owes $50.
He's like, a back payment.
You owe me $50, but I'm not gonna have you owe me $100. I'm at least getting $50.
All right, well...
I mean, Jeb might be drunk, but he's at least got that going for him, you know?
He's not going to let go of that
cash. He needs $50 to go buy more moonshine. He can't be making this in the bathtub, you know, without any money. It's like, I got to go get my distilling supplies. Yeah.
This explains, I'm so glad you're here.
So much.
This explains so much.
Yeah, it really does.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so DJ assures Rocket that she's going to think of something to remedy the situation. No one is ever going to take him away from her.
Ooh, that's a bad place to go to a commercial break.
It is, yes. This is a very tense commercial break.
Uh-oh.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
But we come back to the kitchen where Stephanie and her friend Harry Takayama race into the kitchen. What an entrance. Stephanie wins the race, and Harry says, "I let you win." And Stephanie corrects him, "I let you let me win." He nods. Mm-hmm. He nods and he tells her, "Got it, chief." I love it. He knows his love role. He knows his role.
He knows who's in charge. And I forget that he called me chief in this, which is hilarious. Zoe calls Mescal chief.
She like, does?
Chief? Yeah, she calls him chief. But I forgot that that Harry called me chief. And I was like, that's right. We had the funniest little dynamic. Like, oh. Steph was like, you just, and he was like, all right, chief, guy, whatever you want.
He's such a yes man. He's so great.
He really is.
He's so in love with Stephanie. It's, I mean, at least I'm, that's the story I've created in my head is that he's so in love with you.
It is, for sure. Well, they eventually get married.
That's true. Okay. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
That all tracks.
There's love there.
So, Stephanie offers Harry something to eat, to which he responds, I'll have steak, medium rare.
Okay, slow down, buddy. Slow down. I'm not going to steak.
He's got quite the refined palate for a six-year-old.
Yeah. Steak, first class airfare.
Stephanie responds that they're out of steak. They're fresh out of steak. But she can make him her specialty.
We're out of steak. We've got steak and we've got... No, sorry. Bob's favorite joke.
Oh, yeah, we can't. I don't think we can say that.
We've got cake.
But Stephanie's going to make him her specialty, cheese donuts. Harry asks...
My fave.
Harry's like, how do you make that? And she shows him by folding the slice of cheese in half and taking a bite out of the middle and then revealing a cheese slice with a hole cut out of it. This is brilliant, actually. This is
cheese donut.
Do you remember anything about this scene? Do you remember meeting Nathan?
I remember. Well, he had been. Was this the first episode he's in?
Yes.
Okay.
This is his
premiere
episode.
I'm like, no, he's been in another one, but.
That's the episode you watched last
week.
Because
I watched the wrong one. Yeah, I remember I was just like so happy to have somebody that was like kind of my age around, and it was fun.
Aww,
it was very fun.
Yes.
But Steph is wearing three different outfits.
Oh, this is a great, I wrote, yeah, I said you're wearing this
like
adorable,
the top half of me,
outfit.
The middle part and the bottom are all doing very different things.
Yes. I like the bottom, my like this shiny blue tights.
Those shiny blue tights come back, you know, and they live in GIF land all over the world. Me in those shiny blue tights, looking like a Muppet dancing around. But yeah, there was a lot of ruffles happening. Wardrobe just was like, we're going to have fun this week. I felt Roberta and Gina all over the place in this yes. one. They just finally got like permission to have fun.
There was some shades of Kimmy Gibbler in this outfit. You had like two different colors. I was scrunchies thinking that in too. Your hair.
Well, the 80s, remember scrunch socks? You would wear two different kinds, that's two different true. Colors.
Yeah.
Color blocking, multicolored, neon. It's all very big. And I'm just looking at my hair, though, and my sad, sad permed little hair that is just fried and like falling away.
Oh, I know it's not good for your hair, but I like the permed style brushed out. It looks very soft and long and flowy.
It looks like a poodle that just got a bath and you brushed it out before like properly letting it air dry, and it's just puffy.
It gets bigger and bigger. As the day goes on. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you pulled it off. You were so cute. You definitely pulled it off.
Thank you.
Okay, so they're eating the cheese donuts, and Jesse walks in greeting the Rugrats, and he asks Stephanie to check if DJ's home so she can help him unpack the groceries. Jesse sees the cheese donut lying on the counter and happily eats it.
And knows what it is.
So he does,
obviously cheese donuts are a thing in the house.
That is Stephanie's specialty. So Steph and Harry walk into the living room and both get wide-eyed, yelling, "Whoa!" The camera angles on DJ with Rocket in the middle of the living room. Steph exclaims, "Buttercup!" because she can see, you know, she has a front row seat to his tail, which is right in front of her.
She's very excited to see the tail.
And Harry is shocked that they have a horse in their living room because he's not even allowed to eat in his living room. Steph excitedly asks, "Are Rocket and Buttercup going to live with us?" I like that you have named them. They're different entities. The tail.
Well, they are, right. I have the tail horse. And Rocket is the rest of the horse, but Buttercup could come or go, you know?
I didn't catch that the first one, but the second and third time I was like, oh yeah, she's definitely, these are two separate pets to her.
Yes, yes.
But DJ's like, no. She explains that she came into the house to get Rocket a carrot and he followed her in.
How'd the horse get up the stairs?
I was going to ask this thing. Are they suggesting that DJ just low-key rode this horse through the hills of San Francisco?
I wrote down, I was like, she walked this horse all the way through San Francisco?
Yeah.
Because it's the Golden Gate Stables, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't think there are stables. I don't think I've ever seen a stable in San Francisco.
No.
And if they are down by the Golden Gate Bridge, and like the shot in the title where you pull out and you see just how this child was riding a horse through the streets of San Francisco for miles.
Oh yeah, for
uphills,
like 15
downhills.
Miles. Yep. And then right
and
up the front stoop.
Went up the front stoop and into the house.
Yeah.
On its own, the horse was like, hey, I'm going to come check it out.
Yeah.
I've never seen a horse climb upstairs on their own.
This is a very agile horse. Like, I'm telling you, Rocket has skills.
Yeah, I have lots of questions about how the horse got here, how DJ got here, why no one reported a child with a horse,
Who at 11, an 11-year-old with a horse through the streets of San Francisco?
I mean, you know, big cities, wild things happen.
In the 80s, they didn't care. Just come in when the street light comes on. Otherwise, nobody cares
where the kids are, you know? Right.
Yeah.
Where are your kids now? The commercial I was referencing. Yeah. Where are your kids right now?
Where
it's
10
p.m. Oh, they're out walking a horse around San Francisco.
Yep. So DJ assures Steph that once Dad sees Rocket, I know he'll fall in love with him.
Yeah.
But he won't love him in the house.
Definitely not.
Oh, no. They need to get him out to the backyard. So Stephanie tells DJ that Uncle Jesse is right in the kitchen. DJ sighs and says, oh, we're dead. Stephanie responds, don't get me in trouble. Hide the tail. Steph is just out for herself and her own safety.
She's like, I'm keeping this horse tail.
Yep. DJ makes a plan. She tells Stephanie, you get Uncle Jesse upstairs and don't say a word about the horse. And Steph asks, who would believe me? Which is
very
such a
true.
Funny delivery of that line. Just like, really?
Horse in the living room? Sure.
This only happens in sitcom land anyways. So, we cut to the kitchen. Steph is asking Jesse, well, hey, since Daddy's not home, want to go upstairs and jump on his bed? Before he can answer, Jesse hears the horse neigh. He asks Stephanie what that noise was, and she quickly responds,
I'm blocking the door.
Yeah. DJ's watching Mr. Ed and blocking the door with her entire, the entire wingspan of her arms. But the horse again makes a neigh sound, and Jesse gets very wide-eyed. He picks...
This was such a funny little exchange between Steph and Jesse.
He picks Steph up and moves her out of the way, and Steph's arms are still outstretched. Still, yeah. She was really trying to hold...
Yeah, what do I do with my hands?
So they go into the living room, and Jesse is shocked when he sees Rocket. He stumbles over his words as he's trying to figure out what is going on. DJ swears that she can explain. And Jesse tries guessing her excuse. Well, you were just walking past the supermarket and some kid had a litter of these in a cardboard box. He calls Joey for backup. Joey stumbles on his words the same way Jesse did and says that Danny's going to blame him for this whole thing because it's very funny. And he laughs once again. DJ begs her uncles to help her get Rocket outside. She sends Steph to keep a lookout for their dad. And Jesse admits Danny is going to flip his gourd. We got to get this horse out of here. He comes up with an idea. We'll feed him. Joey says that horses eat hay. And Jesse tells him, well, we don't have any hay. And Joey scolds him. Jess, you went to the market and you didn't pick up any hay? Hey.
What were you thinking?
I know. Steph runs back in announcing, Daddy's coming home. Uh-oh. Joey has a plan, and he tells Joey, just follow my lead and agree with everything I say. They meet Danny at the door and prevent him from coming inside. Joey tells him they have a big surprise for him. They say it's in the kitchen, so close your eyes. Danny walks in, eyes closed, and takes a big whiff of the air. He tells them, I know what the surprise is. Joey, you're making that chili again. As they try to rush
him. Which is not a great endorsement for Joey's chili.
No. It's a very accurate description of Dave's
sound appealing.
Dave's
right
orifices, but yes, no.
This moment though, when they drag Bob through and he's got his eyes closed, and then he turns around and he's like, they're still dragging him.
Oh yeah,
that was one of the ones. It like made me laugh. Like Bob's face was so hilarious in that. It was great.
Bob's face is so expressive. His eyes could not possibly have gotten any wider.
It was just such a great Bob face. It was really funny.
But they keep dragging him into the kitchen, and Danny runs right back in, you know, timing the door with the swinging of the kitchen door. And Danny is shocked. He slowly emphasizes, there's a horse in my living room. He gets close to the horse and asks, what are you doing here? And Steph pretends to talk as the horse, saying, hello, daddy. Hey. I give you an A for effort here, you know? It was pretty good.
I was doing my best.
You did your best. Not as good as Joey's impression, but very close. Oh, and Joey tells her, yeah, that was a good impression, but he notes a little more Johnny Cash, though.
Yeah.
DJ says she can't tell a lie. She confesses, this is my horse, and I've had him for 2 weeks. Danny asks, you can't tell a lie? There's a horse in my living room. There has to be a lie involved here somewhere.
This moment was so, like, it really felt like obviously you might freak out a little more if there was a horse in your living room, but like Danny's frustrated and she's like, I'm not going to lie. Like it was such a kid response where you're like, what do you mean you're not going to lie? You have already lied.
There's so many lies
that have led to this. And they're like, well, I'm not going to lie now. And you're like, that doesn't matter.
You've been lying for 2 weeks, girlfriend.
You've been lying for 2 weeks. Yeah, it was such a great parental moment of like, what do you mean you're not going to lie? It's too late.
Danny sends DJ to her room so they can have a talk. He hands the reins over to Jesse and Joey and asks them to get the horse outside. Jesse asks if Joey knows how to get a horse to move. And Joey says, yeah, there's a coin slot you just drop a quarter into. He's so serious when he says these things, too. Like,
yeah,
Joey really
great.
Believes
like, yeah,
that.
You just put a quarter in the slot.
Jesse decides that he'll ride him out. And he hops on the horse effortlessly.
I wrote down, I was like, John adeptly swung himself on that horse. Yes. Bareback? Right in suit pants?
Yeah.
I mean...
This was impressive because we all know how unathletic John is.
It was quite impressive.
Yeah, he didn't even need like a hand getting up there or anything. Like,
no, he didn't. Yeah, just got right on there. No, I mean bareback. No, you know, no saddle horn to hold on to. Nothing.
Yeah.
Just right up there. Which in that moment I was like, oh, he and Becky might be a good match.
Oh, because she likes horses.
She can ride horses.
She rides horses.
Not. Oh God, I didn't mean it like that. No. What? Jesus. A B. Sorry. I meant that came out wrong. That's not what I meant. I meant because she likes horses and she was on a thing in the farm in Nebraska.
It took me a second. He could,
not because he can easily leap onto things. That's not what I meant.
Sorry, guys. I had a brain fart. It took me a minute to catch up with your brain. Well, I was going places I didn't want to go.
Surprisingly, my brain didn't go there first. But yeah.
I was waiting. I've been waiting. I was waiting for that. Yeah. But that's okay. Let's just move on. Let's move on very quickly. So the guys leave. They take the horse out, and Stephanie yells after them, "Hi, yo, Buttercup!" Still,
say bye to the tail.
Bye to the tail. So now we are up in DJ's room, and DJ is explaining to Danny that she just wanted to prove that she could take care of Rocket all by herself, so Danny would let her keep him. Danny asks DJ why she didn't just come to him in the first place. She admits, "Well, I started to, but then I saw you were going to say no, so I stopped." He acknowledges that she went right ahead and did what she wanted to anyways. DJ apologizes, but Danny says he's sorry too. Danny starts listing off why he's upset with her, and he asks, "For the past 2 weeks, it's been nothing but lies, hasn't it?"
Oh, this was such a great moment, because like it was, I'm like, I have said that to my kids. I have been the kid that was just lying to the parents, you know, and it was such a real moment. Like, for 2 weeks, it's just been nothing but lies.
Yeah.
And it was so, I fell in love with this episode because it just, like, this scene really showed such a great connection between Danny and DJ. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it was, aside from the, you know, there's a horse in the living room sort of, suspension of disbelief of it all.
Yeah.
The reactions felt like a very real episode. I loved it.
It did. And Bob is selling this anger.
Yeah.
And he feels like he's been deceived, and he's very much selling it.
And he was angry, but like you never felt like Bob was always so great at like that type of parental anger where it was like disappointment and frustration and anger, but never, you never felt like Danny was being too hard or like mean or, you know, it was, he had this real heart to him. I loved it.
Yeah. He struck a great balance of being parental.
Yeah.
He's not out of yelling because he's out of control, but he's right. Genuinely hurt that DJ.
I mean, I would have probably yelled a little bit more if there was a horse in my room.
For sure. Me too. So Danny questions, "How will I ever know when you're telling me the truth?"
Ugh.
And we cue some very serious violins that are happening now.
Yep.
DJ starts to cry. All she wants is for her dad to trust her again. And Candace nails this. Like, she nails
she
this
such
whole.
Such a great job.
There's real tears. Mm-hmm. It's very moving. Moving scene. And she's always been so good at producing tears on command. It's hard to cry on command, especially as a kid.
Yeah. No. She's very good at being able to like switch right into that.
Very well performed. So Danny reassures DJ, saying, "Even if you do something I don't like, I'm always going to love you. We'll find a way to work this out." It's a very good message.
It's a very quick resolution to a horse.
Yeah, true. He gives her a big hug and hands her a tissue so she can wipe her tears away. DJ asks, "You're still going to punish me, aren't you?" And he admits, "Oh yeah, big time." DJ asks, "What's going to happen with Rocket?" And Danny asks her, "Well, what would you do if you were me?" She immediately responds, "What?"
Sorry, I'm a whore.
What did you say?
A terrible joke. I said glue factory.
Glue factory?
Oh, you don't. Never mind.
Do we need to take a sidebar?
No, it's okay. There is the horses and, yeah, what? Anyway, never mind.
Okay.
It's a terrible thing.
Tell
Edit
me
that
after
out,
the
Michael.
Show.
No, don't. We don't need to. Yeah, I'll tell you after the show why, sending a horse to the glue factory is not great.
Yeah, it's not tracking. Okay, so I'll just move on. I'll keep moving on. DJ immediately responds, "I would definitely let me keep him." And Danny is sorry, but he tells DJ she needs to give up the horse. So back at the horse stables, DJ is saying goodbye to Rocket. She apologizes.
Who rode the horse back there?
Oh.
Jesse? Did he ride all the way back through San Francisco?
Yeah.
No one notice the horse was missing for hours?
Well, Jeb is drunk in the bathtub.
That's true. Jeb's passed out on the moonshine. Right. And so they came back, put Rocket in his stable, had none the wiser.
Yeah, none the wiser. This all tracks. So DJ apologizes to Rocket. She tells him, "When I first wanted to get you, I just thought it would be fun to have a horse. Now that I know you and how sweet you are, you're my friend. She tells Rocket she's going to miss him so much. Right then, Jeb enters asking DJ if she wants to meet Rocket's new owner.
He staggers in.
He stumbles. He stumbles in, slurring. But DJ's not ready. She admits that she's not ready to meet Rocket's new owner. But right then, Becky walks in saying,
Yay, we've already met.
Yay, Becky to the rescue. DJ is shocked that Becky is going to be Rocket's new owner. Becky tells DJ she heard what was going on from Danny, and growing up on a farm, she misses being around animals. DJ tells her she's lucky. She's getting a great horse. She walks over to Rocket, telling him, and you're getting a nice owner. Becky asks DJ if she wants to help take care of Rocket and even ride him once in a while. DJ says she'll have to ask her dad first. So she's learned. She's definitely learned.
Right.
Danny walks in and says that they can definitely work something out. She thanks his dad, telling him he's the best. And he agrees. You're right. I am. Did DJ get off? Wait, did she even get a punishment? Like, I feel like the punishment was that she had to give up the horse.
And the punishment was she had to give up the horse. And we're the implication is that she's probably, like, grounded or something at home. Like,
so no TV for 2 weeks.
This is her saying goodbye to the horse. And yeah, I'm sure she, I was going to say she lost her phone. And then I was like,
there were no phones.
That wasn't even a thing. God, that was so easy.
She lost her Walkman.
No TV. No, right. Yeah. No records.
No records for a week.
No Stacey Q records for a week.
Okay, so we're just going to assume she's still going to have a punishment at home, but she now gets to stay in Rocket's life, which is lovely. Danny shows Michelle the horsey, and she gently pets him. When Danny asks her, what does the horsey say? She blows a raspberry in response. And Danny says, this is a gifted child. He's so proud. DJ tells Rocket she loves him, and the episode ends with footage from the same montage
slow
that we saw
slow motion footage of the horse. Like, da, 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 da. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Now, I don't know if you remember this or if you were here when it happened, but when we were shooting this episode, the horse was down in the stables on set and escaped. And came running through the camera aisle.
No,
do you remember? Yeah, running through the camera aisle down towards like Steph and DJ's room.
Okay,
and they had like the horse wrangler had to. It was a thing. But I remember the horse got loose and was like, "Get me the hell out of here!" And it was like running.
The horse was like, "I'm done with this. I'm done with these cameras and these lights."
The horse. I don't know what Marilyn was doing. If she assisted, like she made of you know Marilyn the goat was like unlocking the gate. I don't know.
Marilyn but, was busy yeah, being milked.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, I want out of here too. But I remember, that was my story about the horse was, do you remember that it got loose and came charging down the camera aisle and like we had to wrangle a loose horse on stage?
Dang, I bet the horse trainer was like, oh no, I had one job.
I had one job and the horse went flying down the thing.
I was trying to remember, because the horse was in the stable, I never saw a horse out of the stable. But do you remember the animal trainers having those big buckets to catch the poop? Like if the horse was
it's
set?
Like when a horse is in a parade, they hang there's a thing that you can actually hang on the back of a horse that catches it so that it doesn't leave things all over like parade routes and stuff.
Oh,
but I will say Danny is very lucky that the horse did not poop in the living room.
Right.
That would be a major cleanup.
That I feel like horses are very regular too. Anytime they start moving or they get scared.
Well, and they're usually I was going to say they're when they're scared. I mean, maybe coming up the stairs is when he did his thing.
He left some logs on the stoop.
Right, okay. On the stoop. That's what Danny was like. What's happening? Yeah. I smell Joey's chili. Yeah, the horse got loose.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. So crazy. That must have been fun for the kids. You know, like, oh, there's a horse in the camera aisle.
Well, yes, but also like a horse galloping towards you uncontrolled.
That's true.
Is also, you're
liability.
A little like, oh.
Yes.
You know, it's not, yeah. And especially in a closed environment. Like, it's not like you're outside where it can kind of run. You're like, I don't know where it's going to go.
And what's it going to break? What's it going to run into?
Right. And is it freaked out? And
I'm sure the stage manager was not too happy about that.
Yes. Speaking of stage managers, what is your everywhere you look moment for this episode?
As we mentioned at the top of the episode, Okay, so when Danny and Becky are getting ready to go live on Wake Up San Francisco.
Yep. Right, when, like the opening of the scene.
Yeah. There's a man pinning like a lav mic to Danny. Uh-huh. And that is our stage manager in real life, Keith Richmond.
Yep. And they're wearing kind of like all like white khaki, like maybe khaki pants or something like that. But yeah, Keith makes a couple appearances in that first scene.
Yeah.
It was and so he was our actual stage manager.
That was so great.
The makeup person that comes in, I couldn't remember if that was actually one of our makeup artists or if it was an extra that they had. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I didn't recognize her as one of our makeup artists, but she very well could have been. They were, you know, they love to use people that were nearby. Hey, you know, step in.
I got to see Keith Richmond. Keith and his daughters made appearances in the Full House episodes. His daughters would often play my classmates in different things.
Oh, they were your age. Okay. Oh, that's so cool.
Allison was my age. And I think he had a younger daughter too who was more like Ashley Mary Kate's age.
So cool. So cool seeing these familiar faces from our childhood.
I have an Everywhere You Look moment.
Ooh, tell me.
But it's in the opening titles.
Oh, okay.
And remember last week, I think you and I were discussing the abundance of Scotty Dog sweaters.
Oh yeah. You wore a different one every week.
Isn't that the same sweater that you're wearing in the opening titles?
Oh.
But if you look at the opening titles, the front of the sweater doesn't have Scotty Dogs on it because I'm wearing it backwards. You see for a brief moment in the title shot, the Scotty Dogs on the back of the sweater.
Oh.
And they reversed it, most likely because the Scotties would be so noticeable if you ever wore the sweater in an episode.
Okay.
That they switched it around and for a title shot, you want it to just be about the person's face and their name.
Okay.
So the Scotties would have been distracting. So they just had me put the sweater on backwards.
Oh, how funny.
But I didn't realize it. I was like, oh, it does look similar. And then I like see myself putting on the backpack and there's like Scotty Dogs on the back.
Oh,
like,
how
oh my God.
Funny. That's
just
so great.
Flipped it around. So
yeah, just flip it around, Jody, and then go stand by the
just
front flip, door.
Yeah.
Aw.
Well, this was a fabulous episode. I really, really, really loved this episode of Full House. And I'm excited for next week's episode, which is finally the one that I watched 3 episodes ago, which is Jingle Hell, which aired November 11th, 1988. So we're very excited to get to that one next week.
Yes.
And that should be a lot of fun.
You're well prepared for that episode.
Waiting to reveal, you know, everything I wrote down about this episode. But we're so glad you guys joined us again for another really fun episode of How Rude, Tanneritos. Make sure that you are liking and subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening so that you can make sure and get all the new episodes right when they come out. If you want to follow us on social media, you can check us out on Instagram at How Rude Podcast. You can also send us emails at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comments, your questions, anything you want to know about the show, anything for our mini-sodes when you've got questions about things that happened. We love hearing from you guys. It's so much fun to hear from you, Fanneritos. So remember, everybody, we will see you next week. And in the meantime, the world is small, but the house is full.
Woohoo!
Because there's a horse in the living room.
Well
so
done.
The house is very full.
I'll give you some thumbs up. No, now I. Oh, yeah, there we go. Fireworks for you. Fireworks.
Oh, yes.
Well deserved.
Well deserved, finally. And we're done.
And we're out.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.